6. Setting sail.
There is another benefit to using a quintashal as a close-quarters combatant. When an unfed quintashal opens the secretion slits of its hands and sides, a putrid gas is expelled. Anyone near the conjuration will most likely go into a convulsive fit of vomiting.
From Kolvinar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 14. That sensual encounter with Bayam preoccupied Amundal's mind throughout the night and into the following day as he rode his Yiddoth toward Sauroth. Bayam's seduction overshadowed him like the dark clouds brooding over the city. Whatever had affected him, that pink magic, couldn't have been the result of an incantation. She hadn't used one. Had Bayam used a Tebisrol? Perhaps that glove? Troubled, Amundal commanded his Yiddoth to bolt into a gallop. Gusts of wind brushed past him as his pack bounced in time with the Yiddoth's stride. He was soon through the northern gates and racing through the city. But what kind of magic was that? Pale pink magics weren't typically associated with enthralling magic, although what he had experienced was not quite like an enthralling spell. I wonder if Ilden knows anything about it. He considered the dilemma until he neared the city's southern piers, then pushed the thoughts aside as he guided his Yiddoth toward Pier 15, where the expedition's vessel, the Jibaran, was moored. Amundal's Yiddoth sped around a sloping bend, and Sauroth's docking district came into view. As usual, there were many vessels moored along the piers. The annual influx as crops across the various islands were imported. Pier 15 extended from Sauroth's southeast corner and was one of the longest piers in the city. 50 vessels could comfortably moor along Pier 15, while most other piers accommodated 38 or so. Once on the street bordering the piers, he noticed Ilden walking eastward. His friend wore a plain gray robe, like the one commonly worn by illusionist acolytes. Ilden claimed that robe fit better than the one denoting his mastery of the arts. Amundal felt the same way about his charcoal robes. Amundal slowed the Yiddoth's stride, coming to a casual trot beside Ilden.
"You're not late," Ilden said, sounding surprised. "But you're wearing the wrong colored robe."
"What does it matter what robe I'm wearing?" Amundal asked. "And why would you expect me to be late?" True, he had raced through Sauroth, but it wasn't because he was rushing. Ilden shook his head.
"Are you trying to say she wasn't wild enough for you?"
"Do you mean Bayam?"
"Who else?"
Ilden chuckled. Amundal shook his head. "You won't believe what happened." After Amundal related the entire incident, Ilden's jaw dropped.
"It's my fault," he muttered. "I'm so sorry, Amundal."
"No use dwelling on it now."
"She insisted she needed to see you," Ilden said. "That it had to do with the expedition."
A crafty one she is, Amundal thought.
"And now I've fouled things up with the illusion," Ilden groaned.
"I do appreciate your intentions," Amundal said. "Too bad it went awry."
"You're telling me," Ilden sighed, disappointed.
"Don't worry, I'm sure the truth will get around. Just mention it to Jacob." Jacob could spread rumors faster than a wildfire could consume a dried field.
"I'm sorry, Amundal. I was just trying to help."
"Don't worry about it," Amundal said. "What are friends for but to help when you're in a bind? Or when it looks like you're in a bind. Look, here we are." There was plenty of traffic on the pier. Amundal dismounted from the Yiddoth, opened a portal, and dismissed the conjuration. Then he and Ilden pressed their way through the shuffling throng. The Jibaran was moored not far from the shoreline. It was a large gray ship, vaguely resembling the Navy's Sarn-class warships. 5 masts rose from the vessel's main deck, each adorned with plain beige sails. Amundal couldn't tell how many decks the ship had.
At least three decks rose above the main deck over the vessel's stern, and there looked to be at least two decks within the gray hull. The Gibran probably needed a crew of 100. There were at least half that many sailors milling about the ship. Two gangways connected the Gibran to Pier 15. Sailors went up and down the one nearest the bow, delivering or fetching supplies from the pier, while members of the expedition ascended the gangway near the raised quarterdeck.
"Big ship," Amandal remarked.
"It needs to be, in order to fit all of us," Ilden said. "I've never been on a ship this big." As they neared the gangways, a sailor waved them over. "Are you two embarking on the expedition?" The sailor held a ledger and quill. "We are," Ilden said. "I'm Ilden Sitarin, and this is Amandal Aramian." The sailor scanned the ledger, then flipped through several pages. Amandal leaned forward, seeing a list of names with brief descriptions beside them.
"Interesting manifest."
The sailor made a tally mark beside Ilden's name, then continued flipping through the pages.
"You will be staying in the barracks on the second deck below the main," the sailor said, marking the spot beside Amandal's name, one of the last on the list. "Select a bunk, then report to the galley. Commander Sharn wishes to speak with each of you privately. Now move along."
The sailor waved to the gangway, and Amandal fought the urge to give a mock salute. On the main deck, another sailor was directing the members of the expedition.
"Go along the rail to the doors. You'll see the stairs on your left," he said, pointing aft. "Barracks are on the second deck below the main,"
the sailor continued as Amandal and Ilden passed him.
"The galley is directly above the barracks. You get there by going along the rail."
Amandal and Ilden followed the others down to the barracks, which seemed to take up the entire second deck below the main. Rows of two-tiered bunks ran from the port to starboard hulls. More sailors were repeating directions to the expedition members as they filed into the barracks.
"Work your way toward the bow and select the farthest available bunk," they told the newcomers.
Along the starboard hull, Morjadayan and Dougal emptied their packs at a pair of bunks. Each wore robes representing their discipline in the magical arts. Morjadayan easily climbed onto the top bunk, his large frame making the boards creak. Then he spread his thick coat over the bedding.
"I hope Morji doesn't crush poor Dougal," Amandal said to Ilden, pointing at their two friends.
Dougal was at least half the size of Morjadayan.
"They really should swap bunks," Ilden said, chuckling.
Amandal and Ilden soon arrived at their bunks near the center of the barracks. Ilden took off his pack and tossed it onto the top bunk, then joined Dougal and Morjadayan, jovially gesturing back and forth between the bunks. Dougal pointed to the bottom bunk and said something Amandal couldn't hear. Amandal set his slog-lean pack on the bed. He took out his thick coat and laid it atop one end of the bed. There was no pillow, so Amandal would use his coat for padding. He looked inside his pack, checking the lockbox containing his transcribed notes. Knowing that privacy wasn't a luxury on this trip, Amandal decided to keep the notes in the box.
Hopefully no one will try tampering with it.
Though he had the only key, another mage would be able to open the box with magic.
Better leave something to guard it.
He closed the pack and contemplated his options as more expedition members filed into the barracks. He could see through the eyes of whatever he conjured.
"So nothing large," he thought. "Just something to act as a deterrent." "A spiked Zillaran should do," he thought, so he uttered the incantation to open a portal to the Aldenal plain.
The golden vortex formed completely within the confines of his bunk, and the wavy silhouette of a snake appeared within the golden light. Then the red-scaled Zillaran slithered from the portal. Spiked Zillarans were deadly in the wild. Rows of retractable spikes lined their backs, sharp enough that a mere prick from one would draw blood. The Zillaran slithered toward the pack and wrapped itself around it. Unlike most snakes, Zillarans didn't coil on top of themselves. They often rested around boulders or tree trunks.
With his conjuration settled, Amandal strode over to his friends.
"I'm not going to crush him,"
Mojadian retorted, climbing down from his bunk. "I'm just saying," Ildin raised his hands defensively.
"I like the bottom bunk," Dougal said in a stolid tone.
"It's not like you're sleeping beneath me," Mojadian said to Ildin. "Come on, let's go to the galley."
He noticed Amandal and grinned widely.
"Good morning, Amandal. Have a pleasurable night?"
"If by pleasurable you mean insightful, then yes," Amandal replied. "I spent the entire evening studying."
Mojadian squinted at Amandal, not convinced.
"There's no point lying," Dougal said, turning from his bunk. "We all saw you."
Amandal sighed, shaking his head.
"What you saw was merely the advances of a desperate woman."
Mojadian raised an eyebrow and shook his head.
"Sure,"
Dougal laughed. He crossed the barracks and Mojadian followed.
"What's it going to take," Amandal muttered.
"To convince everyone that you're not a womanizer?" Ildin asked. Amandal gave his friend a sullen glare.
"Sorry," Ildin said with a sigh, "but I don't think you're going to change anyone's mind anytime soon."
The Gibran's galley was nearly as large as the barracks, and it was packed. Every table was occupied.
"Sure is crowded," Amandal remarked, moving through the crowd. "Maybe we should have arrived sooner."
"I don't think it would have made a difference," Ildin said. "Last night they announced that people could come aboard after the banquet."
"Let's go stand by Jacob,"
Amandal nodded. Perhaps Jacob would start spreading rumors about Amandal not sleeping with Bayim. While crossing the galley, Amandal eyed Felinia, who was at a table with several other women. His eyes lingered on her until he and Ildin reached Jacob. She didn't look at him, though. To Amandal's surprise, Jacob did not have a drink in his hand. The necromancer looked remarkably sober.
"You missed one incredible party, Amandal," Jacob said, then snickered. "Or maybe you didn't."
Amandal shrugged. "You have it all wrong." Dougal laughed and shook his head.
"She was that bad?" Jacob asked.
"I wouldn't know," Amandal said. "I didn't sleep with her."
He didn't feel comfortable telling the entire truth to anyone but Ildin.
"But she looked so enticing in that dress,"
Jacob rubbed his chin.
"He didn't sleep with her," Ildin interjected.
"Amandal is a full-fledged Aramean conjurer now, and he spent the night studying his family's books." Mojadian snorted with mirth.
"What?"
Jacob looked to Amandal, confusion spreading across his face.
"So you can't say whether she was good or bad?"
"I said I don't know, Jacob," Amandal said with impatience. "Why don't you sleep with her and find out?"
Jacob's eyes went wide.
"You mean you're actually leaving women for the rest of us?"
Amandal nodded. "You could say that. I'm turning over a new leaf." Jacob looked to Ildin, then Amandal, then back to Ildin. He went slack-jawed, scanning the galley.
"You mean you're not going to sleep with any of them?"
He swept his hand across the crowd.
"Well, maybe one," Amandal said.
He glanced in the direction of Felinia, but she had her back turned to him.
"This is incredible," Jacob blurted. "You're serious?"
Mojadian's snorting turned into laughter, and Amandal nodded.
"Listen up, everyone," Jacob shouted. "Amandal Aramean has officially renounced his promiscuous ways."
Several people turned to the shouting necromancer, but most ignored him.
"No longer will we have to live under his shadow. The women of—"
The ship jolted. Amandal staggered into a wide stance while Jacob fell against a mage sitting at a nearby table.
"Looks like we're moving," Ildin said.
Jacob pushed himself up and resumed shouting. Amandal ignored him. Some of the expedition paid attention to the necromancer, but not many.
Shortly after the ship began moving, several men wearing the black garb of naval officers entered the galley. One held the ledger the sailor had been marking when Amandal and Ildin came aboard.
"Good morning," the officer said in a booming voice. "I am Dardel Draeli, first officer to Commander Calamir Sharn. Commander Sharn wishes to speak with each of you in order to most efficiently assemble our expedition. One by one, you will go to his private quarters to be interviewed on your various skills and experience. If you need to leave the galley for any reason, please notify another expedition member and return promptly."
Dardel opened a ledger and called the first name on the list. Hadril Skern. A middle-aged man with brown hair, who wore the black robe of a necromancer, rose from a table across the galley. Skern? Amandal wondered. The Skerns were a noble family from the Isle of Sarn, the second largest island in the Principality of Sauras. They were a minor house, but Amandal had met plenty of Skerns during the lavish events held at the Aramian estate. A noble-born necromancer? Amandal wondered, watching the other officer escort Hadril out of the galley.
"Guess we should get comfortable," Ildin said, plopping onto the decking. "Did anyone bring any cards?"
"I did,"
Dougal said, reaching into his robes and pulling out a deck of worn cards.
"Who is up for a few games of Sharzen?"
Sharzen was an old card game that had originated on the mainland. Amandal had heard that it started in Kil'dath, but a few people claimed it originated in the Kingdom of Loss. The game consisted of 7 suits, each with 12 cards. Each suit was named after a mythological creature. The game was played by pairing cards in various combinations to earn points throughout a predetermined set of rounds. The number of rounds varied depending on the number of players and the number of decks involved. In one mode, cards were paired and then recycled after each round. At the end of the game, the player with the most points won.
"I didn't bring any money,"
Morjadayan said, dropping down beside Ildin.
"We use chips," Dougal said. "I brought a bunch with me."
Jacob snorted.
"As long as they're not those stupid spheres that they started using at Orchin's Tavern. Damn things roll all over the place."
"Are you playing, Amandal?" Ildin asked. Amandal considered the question. He thought of his transcribed notes, but quickly decided it wouldn't be wise to read them in the galley.
"Sure, I might as well."
It was late in the evening when First Officer Draeli called Amandal to meet with Commander Sharn. He supposed the order in which people were called was based on when they volunteered or were conscripted. The other officer, named Nordis, escorted Amandal to the first deck above the main. They crossed the open-air bridge and strode into the portside corridor. Nordis knocked on the third door, then snapped to attention.
"Come in,"
a deep voice called, and Nordis opened the door for Amandal, gesturing for him to enter. Calamir Sharn stood at the only window in the cabin, his eyes fixed on the darkened horizon. Though the commander was a thick-set man, he stood about average height, half a head shorter than Amandal. His thick, wavy hair was a mix of gray and black and partially covered his large ears. "I thought he'd be taller," Amandal mused. The retired commander turned from the window, facing Amandal. Calamir was a broad-faced man with a bulbous nose. A deep scar ran along his left cheek to his chin. His brown eyes studied Amandal fiercely, his thin lips downturned in a grimace.
"Take a seat,"
he said, gesturing to a pair of armchairs along the bulkhead to the left of the door. Amandal nodded and seated himself, studying Calamir's quarters in a sweeping glance. Not bad, he thought. Compared to the barracks, it was luxurious. Opposite the chairs was a narrow bed. A crudely crafted lightstone lantern hung from the ceiling, swaying with the rocking of the ship and casting shadows across the cabin.
"You're Amandal Aramian?"
Calamir asked. "I am."
Calamir nodded. He sat in the other chair and grabbed a stack of parchments from the table between the chairs.
"A son of Master Aranil,"
Calamir nodded again.
"I've heard great things about you. You're quite talented, from what people say. Your friend Ildin Sitaran is quite enamored of your abilities."
"Oh, really?" Amandal asked, cocking his head. Calamir narrowed his eyes.
"You're not trying to jockey your way to notoriety, are you, Mr. Aramian?"
"Mr. Aramian?" Amandal shook his head, leaning toward Calamir. "I didn't even want to come on this expedition. I was forced into it."
"I don't see a conscription mark in your notes," Calamir said, flipping through the parchment. "It says you volunteered."
"No, I was forced to come," Amandal said. "Just ask Vayim Rudal. She was present when I returned home to Sorath."
"Mistress Rudal, huh?"
Calamir sat back, grinning.
"Was she the reason you conceded?"
Amandal shook his head. "No, she's not. I have no interest in her."
"You changed your mind that fast?"
Calamir asked with a displeased grunt.
"There's a price to fickleness, son."
"So you think I slept with her too, huh?"
"Everybody saw you," Calamir said. "And I've heard of your reputation. There's no need to hide it. I'll give you no shame as long as your promiscuous behavior doesn't interfere with this expedition. In fact, I'd salute any man who can bed as many women as you."
"With that broad face and bulbous nose, of course you would," Amandal thought.
"So, what do you really want out of this expedition, Mr. Aramian?"
"I just want to be done with it," Amandal replied. "The sooner we finish, the sooner I can return to Sorath and focus on honing my abilities in the magical arts."
"Interesting,"
Calamir nodded, glancing back to the parchment.
"I see you're a conjurer. Have you ever used your conjurations in combat?"
"Besides duels?" Amandal asked. "No. But I have used them against other creatures."
"What kind of creatures?"
Did Amandal dare tell him more? Not many people knew of Gangolans. Most men dismissed them as myth. "Beasts. Bigger than this ship," Amandal said flatly. "Creatures that would haunt your dreams for a lifetime if you saw them." Calamir raised his eyebrows, looking doubtful.
"Cut the whimsical nonsense, Aramian. Tell me what you've actually fought."
"He's not going to believe me," Amandal thought. "Gangolans, sir," he added the title with mock respect.
"And what on Kaldar is a Ganger... what's it?"
"Gangolan," Amandal corrected him. "Enormous reptilian creatures covered in scales. Many mistake them for dragons, but they don't have wings, and their tails and snouts are shorter. Some believe the Gangolans are the basis for the dragon myths." Calamir stifled a laugh, shaking his head.
"And where did you encounter this Gangolan?"
"I knew he wouldn't believe me," Amandal thought. "In the Malar Forest." Calamir burst into laughter.
"So, you are an egocentric madman with delusions of grandeur?"
Angered, Amandal rose from his chair. "Why am I putting up with this?"
"Where are you going, son?"
Calamir asked amid his mirth. Amandal bit his tongue. "Stop calling me son," he groaned, reaching for the doorknob. He pulled the door open before replying, "To my bunk. I'll not stand for your berating."
"Wait,"
Calamir said between chuckles.
"Come back."
Hand still on the doorknob, Amandal turned to face the man.
"I haven't told you your assignment yet,"
the commander gestured to the chair.
"I've divided the expedition into 30 squads, 10 personnel each."
Amandal studied Calamir, then ambled back to the chair.
"Prior to our little meeting, I picked out your position. You didn't really help your case, but you didn't hurt it either. I've heard the tales about the Aramean conjurers. If you're anything like your predecessors, you'll be valuable.
Anger simmering, Amandal studied Calamir.
You're to be in Squad 1, along with your friend Mr. Saterin. I personally will be leading that squad with 5 other soldiers that have served under my command throughout my military career. Of course, Mistress Rudal will be with us too.
And who is the last member of our squad? Amandal asked. The thought of being near Vaim for much of the expedition made him hate this trip even more. It's going to be impossible staying away from that woman. This assignment would only make it more difficult to attract Velinia's attention.
2, actually, Calamir said. Mistress Rudal doesn't count, nor does the other Mindalarnian. One of the 2 is a Barjanist who served in the Sarothian Navy and has since become an adventurer. The other is a talented duelist mage named Felinia Tussara.
Amandal felt conflicted as he left Calamir's cabin. On the one hand, he was overjoyed to be in the same squad as Felinia. They would undoubtedly spend the entire expedition together. That was remarkably convenient. But then there was the matter of Vaim. From what Calamir said, Vaim had not refuted the rumors that Amandal had bedded her. He intended to confront her about it. That was not something he wanted coming between him and Felinia. I should have kicked her out immediately, Amandal grumbled, striding toward the open-air bridge. Wind rustled the sails as he descended to the main deck. To his surprise, Felinia stood near the forecastle, leaning on the port side rail and gazing at the stars. Fancy seeing you here, Amandal called. Felinia didn't look at him.
What do you want, Amandal?
Arriving beside her, Amandal leaned against the rail.
Your hand in marriage, he said, trying to sound serious.
With an exasperated expression, Felinia cocked her head toward him.
You? Seeking marriage?
She studied him briefly before looking back to the stars.
You're too promiscuous for marriage.
Well, that's changing, Amandal said.
I've heard, Felinia scoffed. Jacob has been proclaiming you're a changed man.
And you don't believe him? She looked back to Amandal, eyeing him up and down.
I don't think you could change if you tried with all your might. A man like you wouldn't be able to resist the temptation.
A man like me?
You know what I mean,
Felinia said, returning her gaze to the stars.
No, I don't, Amandal said innocently. You're being too vague.
Felinia chuckled, shaking her head.
A man with your looks.
Did you just call me attractive? Amandal asked. Felinia pursed her lips and closed her eyes.
I just want to be sure I heard right.
She did not reply. After a moment, she opened her eyes and resumed staring at the stars. Amandal studied her briefly, then followed her gaze. He stared at the sky for a while before pushing off the rails.
Well, squadmate, I'm going below deck for more studying.
Felinia spun from the rail with a dumbfounded expression.
Squadmate?
Yes, Amandal said, grinning.
Did I not mention that earlier?
He shrugged innocently before turning away.
Good night, Felinia.
Resisting the urge to look over his shoulder, Amandal waved his hand above his head just as she had when leaving Machavir's lounge. Hopefully, Felinia was staring at him. Turnabout is fair play, after all.